You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I can't stop watching this last play. When did you know it was going to be a bad beat? Freeze it! Right there, they're going the wrong way! When do you think it occurred to Jarvis Landry fantasy owners this was going to be a fumble and minus 2 points and you just lost your playoff matchup? We're going to talk about it around the horn.
They made it to the end zone, though. Good job.
This is why every team needs to hire a rugby coach. I say this 5 times a year. We'll get to that in a second. Happy Giannis Day, national panel. We start with the news of the afternoon and the news of the next 5 years. Giannis staying put, committing to Milwaukee and the Bucks. 5 years, $228 million. Supermax, the love below, the greatest contract in NBA history. Frank Isola, we'll start with you. What does this mean for Giannis? What does this mean for Milwaukee? What does this mean for the league?
Yeah, you said it. It's great for all of them. The Antetokounmpo family, certainly the Milwaukee Bucks, small market teams in the NBA that are able to keep the players that they drafted. Here's a self-made guy that really didn't come from much in Greece, except for having a loving family. And look what he's become. Two-time MVP, now gets the big contract. Now it's going to be about building around him. He's a terrific player. It's funny. It's the richest contract in NBA history. He still needs to get a little bit better, but they also need to put a better supporting cast around him and chase championships now.
Dara Spain?
It's great for Giannis money-wise and stability-wise, and it's great because he has unfinished business there. As much as we've seen players go to other markets to get what they're looking for, he wants to win it there, and he wants to be loyal to them. And when he's done in 5 years with this contract, he'll be 31. He can go somewhere else if it doesn't work out, but this makes this a destination for free agents. They know he's going to be there for the foreseeable future. They can make a decision to join him and see if they can get on a championship team. And it's, again, like Frank said, great for small market teams to be able to prove that they can hang on to these guys and hopefully turn it into a championship.
Well, Frank said it. Then Frank gets the point. Sarah Spain, Woody Page, we'll bring you in here on the news. Giannis Supermax committing to Milwaukee.
Yes, it's good for everybody. The league, the team, the city, the player. But you got to change the nickname of the team to the Milwaukee $228 million because that's exactly what they're putting out. I think that this makes more sense. As soon as I heard about this, I thought back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was there, brought them a championship, and then moved on to Los Angeles. And so the small market teams have had problems over the years because I've been covering one for a long time. And this just speaks to that you don't have to be in New York or Chicago or LA or Miami in order to compete, A, for a championship or compete for attention or compete for the advertising dollar. I just think that it really does help the league. It helps Milwaukee and what they're doing with the Packers. They're trying to put together a conglomeration there. I think it's a great idea for everybody.
And Clinton Yates.
I agree. It helps the state in terms of Wisconsin being a place in terms of the sports lore that we don't just look at as a hinterland. It helps the NBA in terms of the structure of what a team has to do in order to be able to keep a star like Giannis. If this didn't work, then what is all this other stuff about in terms of how franchises are supposed to keep that kind of talent? But I think thirdly, Frank, I don't know that it's you've got to build around him and maybe sort it out. We talked the other week about whether or not this is a championship or bust season. In my opinion, there's still a large element of that. This guy is very good. They brought on Holiday to make this team better. I don't think that you can just sort of say, oh, he's going to be here forever. Now we can take it. They're good now.
Frank, you want to address that?
Budenholzer is a guy who can do that.
Well, And I think there'll be a lot of pressure on the head coach, Mike Budenholzer. I think at the very least, you know, if they get to a conference finals and don't play well, he could be in some trouble. But to Clinton's point, though, remember, Tim Duncan, small market in San Antonio. What did they do? Manu Ginobili was a second-round pick. Tony Parker was the last pick of the first round. That was the core of that team. You do not need necessarily lottery picks to build a team.
That's the best drafting maybe in NBA history, having two Hall of Famers in that regard. Frank, you did say something, though. Get better. You're talking about Giannis still needs to get better. What specifically in his game are you focusing on there?
Well, Tony, remember the last 14 games that the Bucks have played in, they're 5-9, and Giannis needs to get better from the free throw line because he gets fouled all the time. I think he'll get better on three-pointers, but maybe developing more of a post-up game, that would help also. His game for the regular season, he just overwhelms teams. But come playoff time, when the game slows down, he needs to vary his game a little bit more, but make free throws. That's important.
That's well said. Thank you. We'll move on. Let's talk game of the year in the NFL. And it's almost comical when you try to remember everything as it played out. Baker Mayfield had a must-have drive, and he followed that up with another one and another one. And then Lamar.
I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce. I didn't put
it. He says it wasn't a Paul Pierce situation.
Get out of the way.
Some of his teammates seem to disagree, but how he came back, this was like WWE. They went to commercial just as he was trotting out, and then he threw the fourth down touchdown after 30 minutes in the can, and then he threw all these last second passes and left time for Justin Tucker to Justin Tucker it. Again, game of the year, Clinton Yates, what's the number one takeaway? What does it mean? What does it maybe not mean?
My number one takeaway from this is that we saw perhaps the closest thing to the top form of both of these quarterbacks we've seen in a long time. And I know that's weird for Lamar because he only had three passes at halftime and he didn't necessarily look that great in terms of not completing all the things he wanted to on the last drive. But he did it when he had to, and his legs became something that ultimately defenses had to stop and stare at, which is what the biggest threat is when he's deciding that he wants to be able to do that on offense. As far as Baker Mayfield is concerned, that was the first time I'd seen him and been like, oh, this is what it looks like. On time, down in distance. You've got your timing going well. It was fantastic. But the last takeaway I'll say from this is Kevin Stefanski is obviously the coach of the year to me at this point. In terms of first-year coaches in the league, he's doing better than everybody else. And this squad has come from a place that people thought it was going to be to where it should be now. I know Pittsburgh is a big deal, but the Browns have had the best job from their head coach.
So you're taking a lot of positive from Cleveland. And I hear what you're saying about Baker Mayfield yesterday. Seems like you missed the game against the Titans the week before when he had four touchdowns in the first half. Woody Page, I'll bring you in here on, does this mean more for Baltimore or what you saw from Cleveland? How did this happen last night?
After the game was over, my bigger picture sort of reaction was, this is what the NFL needed. After what Baltimore had to go through 2 weeks ago, having so many players, including Lamar Jackson, sidelined by the coronavirus, by canceling games, postponing games, changing schedules all year, wondering if they were going to get through the season, and to have a game like that, that is a signature game for the NFL this year, that they can look back on it and say, yes, through all of the problems we had, we merged with a Monday night game that may be one of the most special in the history of the game. I mean, we've never had in the NFL history a game that ended up 49-42. I mean, think about that.
47-42, yes. Score got me is what that's known as. Thank you, Woody Page.
Okay.
Sarah Spain, you want to focus on Baltimore? You want to focus on Cleveland? You want to focus on Lamar Jackson and everything that played out there? Go ahead.
I'll start with the last one. I think we all, as a collective, got out the poop jokes last night, except for one that was suspiciously missing, which is the game ended sort of with a fart noise safety, right? It was like nobody picked up on that very last.
Okay.
It's a very
right,
childish
yes.
thing
it
from my youth,
deuce.
If anyone remembers
right,
safety.
All right, yeah.
Anyway, here's the thing. We ended up with a game where whichever team lost, we were going to feel like they could have absolutely earned the win. And it covers up some of the things. The fact that Cleveland had seven fumbles and none of them were recovered is a stat that stood out to me. The fact that that defense, both defenses, gave up so many points in the waning moments when they could have shut it down. There's obviously some flaws there. But in the end, what you get is a Ravens team that would have dropped to a 37% chance of making the playoffs. Yeah. And instead, they go up to 88%. You've got a Browns team that's still in good position to make the playoffs. So both teams improved, in my eyes, despite Cleveland and taking the loss, because I saw another performance from Baker Mayfield to back up what we saw against the Titans. Previous wins for them have been against pretty bad teams, so this was proof that they are getting better. And then a Ravens team that I kind of have given up on, and then we see Lamar Jackson looking like the Lamar Jackson of last year, and all of a sudden they're going to be a team to contend with again.
Okay. Whether... if you gave up on them, that's on you. That's not exactly on the Ravens, Sarah Spade. They are the 8th seed in the playoffs, Frank. And the one problem with that is there is no 8th seed in the playoffs. So what did the win do for the Ravens?
Oh, it was huge. Anytime you win on the road, I think it did a lot for Lamar Jackson's confidence. The way that he played, he completed his last 5 passes, put them ahead, and then obviously he drove them in position for the game-winning field goal. Go-ahead field goal. That 4th down play... that was Patrick Mahomes-like, where you scramble, they think you're going to run, but you're always still thinking about the big play, and he throws that downfield. That was terrific. He's had some peaks and valleys all throughout this season. That was MVP Lamar Jackson in those moments right there.
Woody, you brought up how this is such a signature game. To remind me of the Rams-Kansas City game Monday night, the game that was a combined 100. Yeah. And, you know, one of those teams did go to the Super Bowl that year. Another one got really, really close. Makes you wonder, is this game a launching pad for teams? Because there was that shot of Browns fans in the stands afterwards, looking like Browns fans typically look, pained. And I'm not sure that tracks with this game, how this team should feel after it, Woody.
Yeah, I didn't understand why there was such a bad reaction. This is not the old Cleveland. This is the new Cleveland. And given the consideration that they're going to both be in the playoffs, because the Ravens have nothing but peanut butter cups for the rest of the year, and the Jags and the Bengals and the Giants, you know they're going to get in. And another one of my first thoughts last night is, let's see these teams play again in the playoffs. Well, guess what? It could happen. The Steelers are struggling now. Maybe the Browns, even despite this, or the Ravens could get to the top spot and play as a home field against the other team, or if they both win their first playoff game. So I think there's more to this, and I think the Ravens have turned it around. They're good. The Cleveland Browns, we have thought, were on the verge of being in Tier 1. At least I thought that. And I think both these teams are 1Bs now. Not 1As, but 1Bs.
Darius Payne, last word at the point.
Yeah, the reason they were acting like that is because they were exhausted. That small group of fans, every time they cut to them, they were losing their minds. I was so impressed by that, so I'll give them a pass on you know,
it's being possible
a little
they were cramping. We don't know. I mean, maybe they were cramping.
Been,
we also,
cramping.
It's possible they bet on the game, because that is just a blow your mind. There are beats and there are bad beats. Scott Van Pelt, no, I mean, they are, this was an inconceivable beat. Clinton, I know you want to break down Lamar's film, his technique, as he was running down the vomitorium, I believe it's called, but go ahead, please.
Tone, look at this. Look at the left hand here. It's not the throwing hand he uses to wave this guy up. Whack, got him. Now you get in. What a move. What a move. The gate is perfect. This is an MVP caliber. Move along, son. What a job.
Carefully placed towel. Yeah. Very carefully placed towel.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Well, it depends.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Rockets Spurs preseason game 3 tonight. I don't know if we've ever done a buy or sell on preseason game 3, but we will for James Harden, who's reportedly, allegedly, potentially going to play for Houston. Clinton, what do you expect? What will it accomplish? What do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm selling most of this. I did not expect that we would get to this point, considering that the team is apparently listening to trade offers and the guy doesn't even want to play there. So why is he getting on the court? I don't quite understand, other than to satisfy the sort of odd moral responsibility that he has to have for a preseason game. I'm not sure I get it.
So you wouldn't play him if you're Houston, if you were, in fact, shopping him. Woody Page, how about you?
Correct.
I agree with Clinton. You don't even play him in the game. What is the possibility that he might get hurt, pull a hamstring? He hadn't been practicing. He's been on the road. He just showed up. I mean, why in the world would you play him? Just like guys in baseball, if you're going to trade them, you keep them on the bench. That's the same thing going on here. And if you trade him to Philadelphia, you're going to exchange 15 three-pointers a game for none? Really? Is that a deal you're going to make?
Darius Spain?
You keep guys on the bench when the trade has already been made and you're just waiting for the finalizing to send them off. You don't keep them on for however long it's going to take them to get this deal. And it hurts their leverage for him to sit out. It hurts their leverage for it to seem like he is never going to play for them this season. He needs to make it look like he's still a great player who can play with anyone, including this guy, John Wall, for however long it's going to take for them to actually get back pieces that make sense for Houston.
Frank Isola.
Sarah, you sound like an NBA general manager. I think that's exactly what they're doing. They want to keep him as of right now. And I also think he'll play between 10 and 18 minutes. The good thing was he announced that he was going to be professional. That's really nice of him. But at some point, I think they're going to have to move on from James Harden. Clearly doesn't want to be there.
Uh-huh. All right. Buy or sell two. You know, it's almost like when Harden's in the headlines, Kyrie's like, whoa, what about me? When Kyrie's in the headlines, Harden's like, what about me? The latest from Kyrie Irving, he's open to talking again. Frank, this is your account. What to buy, what to sell here?
Well, it wasn't that easy. Just sit down with the media, going to answer some questions. And remember, Tony, he mentioned the comment about Steve Nash, where basically anybody could coach the team. He knew that was going to come up. It was a preemptive strike. He brought it up on his own. The only thing missing, the reporters never brought up the comments about LeBron James that LeBron commented on as well.
Glenn Yates?
Reminder, it's still 2020, and I'm still willing to look at this as when a black athlete tells y'all to back up because he doesn't feel right about how the proceedings are going, it is worth listening to. Now, he might be an idiot otherwise, and this might cause a huge problem within his locker room, but that doesn't mean that what he feels for himself doesn't actually make sense. And in this case, I understand why he's coming back to the table on some level, because you know what? He might not like any of us, and that's fine by me as far as him and how he plays basketball.
Woody Page?
Well, the solution, Clinton, is the league gives him a special dispensation where he doesn't have to talk. We get tired of hearing him talk when he does talk. He shouldn't have to talk because every time he opens his mouth, I think he says things that he ultimately regrets. That's why he didn't want to talk before. It was like a queen's gambit talking about pawns. I just think that he should shut up and just play basketball. Be a performer.
Sarah, you're shaking your head no.
No. We don't tell athletes to shut up when we don't like what they hear. We cover them and we react to them, and they understand that their job is to speak. And sometimes you're not going to feel safe and protected. Sometimes you're not going to feel like people get exactly who you are or understand you. That's the price that comes with being famous. That's the price with saying things. If he wants respect, don't disrespect a two-time MVP and Steve Nash before you've even had one practice. If you want respect and people to understand what you're saying, then don't speak in word salads where you're trying to sound smarter than everybody else, and don't insult people by calling them pawns. He needs to talk, otherwise it sets a terrible precedent, but he also has to understand he's not always going to be perfectly understood unless he communicates better.
Clinton, something you want to add to that?
That is kind of the attitude that I think makes my point about why he doesn't think that any of this is important.
Can you expand on that just a little bit?
I just feel that for Kyrie Irving, who he's trying to figure out who he is not necessarily about answering the moral quandaries of any press person or anybody in the NBA.
No one's asking him to.
Their job or not.
Yeah, I think Sarah's point
is... No one's asking him to. He offers it up all the time, and then he doesn't like how it's reacted to. He creates the problem and doesn't take accountability for it.
I wouldn't consider it a problem, is all I'm saying.
Okay. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. It's a different feeling. Who said it? Oh, he's on the screen right there, and it says Zion right on the screen as well. Zion Williamson. It's a different feeling, he said. This was Pelicans preseason game 2. So let's break down game 2. 33 minutes played, 26 and 11. Sarah, what to buy, what to sell from Zion?
I'm buying. I forgot to get excited for Zion because it's been so long since we saw the Pels, and we're going to get to see him hopefully, actually, without restrictions, which is huge for him and that team.
Frank Isola.
First of all, the guy's an unbelievable player. He reminded us of that last night. But if I'm Alvin Gentry, I'm sitting there. Hang on a second. Last year, we go down to Orlando in the bubble for games for the playoffs. He's on a minutes restriction. The first preseason game in Miami, he plays the third most minutes he played all of his NBA career. Come on now. What's going on?
Clint Yates?
It's been since Tobacco Road since this guy felt this free, which is tremendous. And you can tell by the way he was playing on the court. He had a little bully ball in there as well. He was willing to knock people over and try to dunk on him. I loved every second.
Woody Page, you need 6 points. Do you have it?
He has 2 points that I'll start out with. Stan Van Gundy, when he came into town, said no restrictions. Yeah. Number two, that Zion shot free throws well last night. He won't become Shaq. Yeah. He's
okay.
A guy that now
all right.
Can shoot.
You have anything
then
else?
Just foul him and he rebounds.
Anything
well.
Else?
That's all I got.
Oh, Woody, I was there. Quentin Yates, Woody Page, right. Taking a back seat. For Sarah Spain, Frank Isola, showdown in 4 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
2 days in a row, Cowboys executives named Jones giving a vote of confidence to Mike McCarthy. Yesterday, Stephen. Today, Jerry. Jerry said he can't even dream about Mike McCarthy not being the head coach. Do you believe in that vote of confidence, Sarah, or would it be wise to maybe consider annulling this marriage after the season?
I don't know if the dream is a reference to their sleepover, but I think you give someone more than one season if you have a sleepover with them. And there's only one first-year coach with a winning record. Between COVID and injuries, give him another year at least.
And the knock is going to be, well, you waited this long with Jason Garrett. Why are you going to do it again with another coach? But I think they will chalk it up to Dak Prescott, and Mike McCarthy will certainly be back next
year. I forgot about the sleepover, Sarah. That's a good call. So, yeah, it wouldn't be annul the marriage if we cancel the sleepover. Point, Spain. I'm still on this last play from the Browns last night. That blew the line and lost fantasy playoff games for Jarvis Landry owners when he was credited with a fumble and -2 points on the last. I mean, so here's a question. What was the worst fantasy experience? Landry losing points like that? Or your player, Josh Jacobs, this weekend, pranking you before the game, telling you he's not playing, so you'd bench him, only for him to play and then middle finger emoji you. Frank?
It was Landry. He was put in an impossible situation. But you know what? Teams have become so sophisticated at defending that, they need to do what a famous host on ESPN says, hire a rugby coach for the latter.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he said it earlier in the show, too, which was great when he said it earlier in the show. The worst one is the intentional one, because Landry came within the game, which we're all used to seeing those bad beats. But Jacobs tried to trick guys, which, I mean, I guess some fantasy owners deserve it, but it's got to be fine.
I said it on the conference call before him.
Sarah Spain, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
I don't have any kids, but I'm a kid at heart. And for those of you who are like me or have kids, Nickelodeon is going to run one of the NFL wildcard games with googly eyes on the players and slime trails on the kicks and SpongeBob celebrating. This sounds so fun to me. And if there are alternate viewings of games and it gets young fans to get into it, I am so here for it. Let's do it.
We are the Nickelodeon generation, right? Clinton, Sarah, what was your favorite Nick?
Secret World of Alex Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Dare.
Double Dare. Double Dare for me.
Oh, double Dare.
23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.
Happy Hour is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.